we are very much aware of our weakness and inability to do anything on our own. And that includes understanding your word, obeying your word, and loving your word. And so we ask that by your Spirit, may you please help us grasp what it is you want us to say, to learn. And help us, please, to apply that, not for someone else, but for ourselves. And may glory and honor be brought to your name. May none of us leave this place today the same way we've come here. May your Holy Spirit do his work, please. In Jesus' name, amen. I forgot to welcome those online. Welcome. So it would be very helpful if you could have Galatians chapter 3 with you there. And this is the last sermon, as we prayed earlier, the last sermon of 2024. I nearly said 25. Last sermon of 2024. I don't know how you would describe your year of 2024, but I am convinced that this part of God's word has a bearing and will have a massive bearing as we start up 2025. And my prayer is that the Lord will use Galatians in what lies ahead for us for 2025. I am also adding on to your prayer, grateful to our God for teaching us through so many people that have taught God's word up here faithfully. And I am praising God for Luke, our pastor, who daily struggles and goes through scriptures with the aim to come and teach us from his word. But I praise God not just for Luke, but for everyone else that's taken part in preaching God's word. I wonder, what is your aim for 2025? What is your aim? I wonder what we would say to that. As I just said, I'm convinced that God has more truth for us. As we start 2025, please have Galatians in mind all the way through 2025. For us to understand what's going on, in the chapter that we've looked at, we need to get the context of our passage. So, as you prayed earlier, this passage is, this book of Galatians was written by the Apostle Paul, who established various churches in and around this area called Galatia. And where do we see that? If you look down to chapter 1, verse 2 there, just across the other page, you will see that Paul wrote and established various churches in the area. I reckon this is one of the most fascinating books that Paul has written. I think the message of this book is daily relevant for every Christian across the whole world. Even more so as we start to look forward to 2025. You see, most people that had become Christians at this church, at these churches in Galatia, were from a Jewish background. Some from that community who had become Christians, both Jews and Gentiles, seemed to be confused about all sorts of things. There was a massive amount of confusion. Some people there were throwing the believers into confusion. Where am I getting that from? If you glance back again to chapter 1, verse 7, it says there, evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. They were undermining grace. They were abandoning the gospel and turning away from it. That's ridiculous, isn't it? Undermining grace and turning away from it. Please look with me at chapter 1, verse 6. Paul says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. You see that? You are turning to a what? Different? Ah, very good. Super straight. Never lets me down. Brilliant. Grace is undeserved, isn't it? The definition of grace is undeserved kindness of God. So every time I say grace, keep in mind, it's undeserved kindness from God. So what did we say again? They were turning from a different gospel. Excellent. A bit louder next time. Thank you. You see, church family, this was happening in God's family, at church. You see, the church family, the Galatians, were now focusing on obedience. They started up with grace, but we're now returning to their former way of life, their Jewish former way of life, a life of Jewish rituals, law and morality. These were people who assumed that Jewish ceremonial observation was a must. We must do these things. And I think I've got something on PowerPoint on this one. For them, it was law, obedience, plus grace. So law, obedience, plus grace. So it's no surprise that Paul says in verse 1 of our chapter 3, "You foolish Galatians, who bewitched you?" And again in verse 3, "You foolish Galatians, after beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of flesh?" I can sense their anger in him. Can you, brothers and sisters? Yes, thank you, Luke. Thank you, Phil. "I would just like to learn one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by observing what you heard?" In other words, was it by following the rules that you believed the Holy Spirit, that you received the Holy Spirit? He asked the Galatians that question. For the answer to that question, which is, did you receive the Holy Spirit by observing the law? For the answer to that question, we need to turn to Acts chapter 2. You're going to have to turn there with me. Acts chapter 2, which is on page 1093. Page 1093. Acts chapter 2. It's wonderful how God helps us to understand Scripture by using other parts of Scripture. So Acts chapter 2. And we will read from verse 14. These will be very familiar verses for you, brothers and sisters. Acts chapter 2, and we'll start from verse 14, and then we'll skip. Follow me as I read. Acts chapter 2. You'll remember that this is the occasion the believers were accused of being drunk and were made fun of. Do you remember that occasion? Some Christians become Christians, and people became Christians, and the Holy Spirit was promised, and this is what happens. "Then Peter stood up with 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say." Skip to verse 29. "Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Savior." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." Now read these next bits with me. "And you will receive the Holy Spirit." Oh, let's do that again. "And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and
your children.
And
for
with that in mind, let's go back to the question in our Galatians passage. Paul asked the Galatian Christians, did you receive the Holy Spirit? Did you receive the word? Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by believing what you heard? Was it by observing the law?
No.
Excellent. By believing what you heard?
Yes.
You don't receive the Holy Spirit. I'm going the wrong way now. You don't receive the Holy Spirit by observing the law. Amen?
Amen.
You don't receive the Holy Spirit by observing the law. By believing, hearing, repenting, and obeying. By the way, if you haven't been baptized, then why not? Why has that not happened? If you want to talk about that, please talk to me about that, or Jonathan, or Luke. But that's an aside. Let's carry on. The law is actually good. You look, see, look with me at verse 21. The law is actually quite good, but the gospel is better. Why? When you believe the gospel, you receive the Holy Spirit. When you believe the gospel, you receive the Holy Spirit. You do receive the Holy Spirit by believing. There is no Christian in the whole world who does not have the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Every Christian in the whole world has the Holy Spirit. The life of the Spirit is better than a life of the law that you can't live up to. The Galatians grasped that the gospel of forgiveness, but living a Christian life based on grace became very difficult for them. They started listening to non-gospel ideas. They were being thrown into confusion, drifting into old traditions, old habits, old rituals and morality that they used to live before they became Christians. What did they do, I hear you ask? The answer to that question is in chapter 4, verse 9 to 10. 10 to chapter 4, verse 9 to 10. And this is what we read there. But now that you know God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? No. You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. They were insisting also that a proper Christian had to be circumcised, not eat food sacrificed to idols and eat food in a certain way, observing such special days, months and seasons. A proper Christian had to do things that way. If you don't do things that way, you're not a proper Christian. Can you imagine, church family? This is happening in God's family, in God's church. Verse 22. But scripture has locked up everything under the control of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Church family, observing special days, months, seasons, this is foolishness, isn't it? Am I going the right way? Oh, fully, there we go. This is foolishness. The issue for the Galatians was that they thought it was grace plus law. If you look down to chapter 3, verse 3, are you so foolish, Paul says, after beginning by means of grace, of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of flesh? The Galatians thought they needed to add to grace, add to what God had already done, and so they were in total confusion. He actually reminds them that God's promise to Abraham is received not through works, but by faith. Now, that would have made sense to them, these guys that were Jews. That would have totally made sense to them when he mentioned Abraham. The Galatians needed to remember that the law is impossible. Look at the Ten Commandments. Have you kept them all? You shall have no other gods to tell you. Good answer. observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, honor your father and mother, and so on. Have you kept them all? Anyone here?
No.
No. If the answer is no for everyone, then you're in trouble. If you're not relying on Jesus, then you're under condemnation. I'll say that again. If you're not relying on Jesus, then you're under condemnation. What has all this got to do with us here at Silver Street? I see you asking. You're looking at me and thinking, oh yes, so what? What's this got to do with us here? I think, brothers and sisters, this has a lot to do with us here in 2024 at Silver Street Community Church. After accepting Jesus as Savior and Lord, a lot of us here are in the same situation as the Galatian Christians. Are we sometimes also drifting into Galatian territory? Forgiveness plus law. Law, obedience plus grace. That equals foolishness. We think we can add to grace. I think we are more in Galatian territory than we think. Perhaps not saying it loud, but it is in our actions, in our motives, which the Lord sees. There is nothing that happens that the Lord doesn't see. Do you think God looks at us today as a church and says, oh, wow, these guys are fantastic. These guys are brilliant. Or have you ever felt God is more pleased with you because of something you've done? Or he loves me more today because of something you've done? Or, he loves me more today because of something, some performance on my part? Oh, yes, he is hearing my prayers because I've been so good this week. Let's dig a little bit deeper because I'm speaking a bit vaguely. Let me dig a little bit deeper. Thoughts like Silver Street Community Church can stand before Jesus Christ today. Why? Because we love our community. Our welcome is up there. Absolutely fantastic. The church lunches are so good. Nearly Michelin standard. We have so many activities each year, like the fun days at Christmas, the men's carriage, sometimes the women do all sorts of things. We're fantastic. And then, of course, we have the additional Friday night prayer meetings. Those ones go on very late. Every Tuesday's prayer meeting, unless it's Christmas. The way we run our Sunday services is so good. The songs are fantastic. Oh, fantastic. We've even got a new song that sings in multiple languages to cover everybody. Our communion is great. Yes, everyone here is pretty much expressing their worship in a similar way. No weirdness here. We are all quite nice and safe. I even tried to preach Galatians 6. I think I was doing okay. We have managed to help convert people. We had some baptismal service this year. Do you know that? Our church had some. Do you know how many? Oh, there's so many, I can't even remember. If we are relying on that to stand before Jesus, then we are in trouble. If our confidence for his love for us is in anything else rather than Jesus, then we are in deep trouble. Flow, grace is foolishness. We are robbing God of his glory. Church family, these things are good, but should be a response to what he's done for us already. What about us as individuals? That was examples from a church point of view. What about us as individuals? Are there certain ways in which we're relying on our own performance? Or are there ways in which we know we're relying on our own performance for his love? Oh, the Lord is surely pleased with me. He is looking kindly at me. Why? Well, I am always at that midweek prayer meeting and the Sunday service. I never miss church. Oh, I give my money to the poor. I've even got a direct debit set up. Every month I get paid, my money's out, straight to church. Some of us this morning are not reading the Bible regularly, not making it to that prayer meeting, irregular at church on Sundays, and so we feel that Jesus does not love us, and so we feel distant. Yeah, that might be a good thing to feel distant, but do you see what's happening there? It's the other way around. Because you're not doing something, the Lord Jesus doesn't love me. My Bible reading has been so consistent. My praying quality, the prayers long, powerful. The Lord loves me. I am always quick to pray for others. I put up a lot with some of those weird people at that church. Our kids have all professed faith in the Lord Jesus. Why? Because of the way we've brought them up. Law plus grace is foolishness. When I first became a Christian, when I first heard the gospel, it was from two Scottish pastors. They were excellent communicators. They were wonderful. As a new Christian, anyone who sounded like my pastors, I assumed was a Christian, especially if they dressed like them. I quickly realized that it is by grace that anyone is a Christian, not by what they sound like, not by what they dress like, not by what they look like. It is by grace. It's by grace that anyone is a Christian. I need your help. Thank you. You'll find one that said, saved by grace. If we are relying on our performance for the Lord to be pleased with us, then we are in deep trouble. Grace, law is foolishness. We are robbing God of his glory. These are all good things. Don't get me wrong. All these good things are good, but there should be a response to what he's done for us already. Church family, nothing I do, nothing we do for God can give us life and increase his love for us that is already in Jesus Christ. Nothing you do can make him love you more than he already loves you in Jesus. By grace we are saved, not by works. Are you allowing your hearts to drift into the confusion of the Galatians? If righteousness could be attained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. Don't misunderstand me. Don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say. Yes, in Jesus, we and the Galatians have been rescued from death that sin brings. We should desire to obey and do good. That pleases the Lord. Christ has freed us. We have complete freedom. Oh, are you saying that we are now free to do whatever we like? Is that what you're saying? We've got freedom now, do what we like, where we like, how we like. Is that what you're saying? To answer that question, read with me Galatians 5 from verse 13. Read with me. You, my brothers and sisters, I'll give you a couple of seconds. Are we there? I don't know what page number that is, but Galatians 5 from verse 13. Very good. You, brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, save one another in No, I'll say that. Rather, save one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Church family, this is wonderful. Once you become a Christian, you are freed from indulging the flesh. Once you are the child of Christ, you are freed from indulging the flesh. You instead start loving what Jesus loves. you start loving your neighbor like Jesus does. Yes, you give to others because that is what Jesus says and it pleases Jesus. You want to pray? Yes, because it's a way of loving your church and your family and it pleases Jesus. You put on church lunches and fund it? Yes, that's good because it shows you love Jesus and his people and it pleases Jesus. You become generous, patient, gentle, kind. Why? Because that is the fruit of the Spirit and reflects Jesus, and it pleases Jesus. Do you see what's happening here? Thank you. Church family, I and my 6 siblings, an uncle and an aunt and a cousin, I'm not making this up, we're all brought up by a single mom who loved Jesus. My mom was a good mom, but she got a lot of things wrong. And she was still Ma, as we called her. My obedience to her is not what made her my mom or make her love me more. She became my mom over 50 years ago. I loved it when I made her happy, which was not very often. Obeying her did not make her more my mom and love me more. She loved me even when I brought chaos, even when I brought havoc to her. She still loved me. Our Lord Jesus is always good and gets everything right. Our obedience to him is not what makes him our Lord Jesus. He loved us even when we're rebellious against him. Now that we are his children by grace, nothing will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Not trouble, not hardship, no danger, not even death. We are all called to be free in Christ Jesus, to walk by the Spirit that he gives us, not to gratify the sinful desires of our bodies. Because sin is an offense to Christ, we too start to see sin as offensive. We start to feel that offense. We have been freed from the bondage of sin. Again, before I became a Christian, I was a bit of a Pharisee. I followed all sorts of rules, but not fully. I thought I could bring to God enough for my salvation. I was completely foolish, bewitched. Grace was too much for me. I felt I needed to contribute, to give something back to God, to do something for me to be accepted. After I became a Christian, the battle for work and law, which is foolishness, has not stopped. I keep asking him to remind me the incomparable riches of his grace that I have received. He loves me because of Jesus. He is delighted with me because of Jesus. He looks at me with a smile because of Jesus. I am able to please him because of Jesus. We are people who need grace, not just today, but daily. We are people that need grace, not just today, but
daily.
Grace to help us obey. Not your ability to obey. Grace to help you obey. I think what a lot of people see in our society is law because they don't have the Spirit. All they see is law in Christians. Do you know what I mean? A lot of comments are made on Christians because people just see the law in us. Some people say being a Christian is boring. How can being filled with the Spirit of the Almighty God be boring? Some here today are where I was, trying to work their own salvation. Maybe not saying it aloud, but they also think Christianity is boring. Oh, I'm not that bad after all. I've never killed anyone. I'm kind to everyone. If that is you today, I urge you, as we read in Acts, apart from Jesus, you cannot be saved. Apart from Jesus, you cannot be right with God. Anyone who does not have the Spirit does not belong to Christ. Grace. If you're one of those people here this morning whom hasn't received the Holy Spirit just yet, and you're asking, how do we receive the Holy Spirit? Repent, believe that Jesus, who never broke any law, stepped in your place of the law, of the lawbreakers, rather, and he gives the free gift of grace. How did he do that, I hear you ask? You see, at Christmas, we've celebrated Jesus coming as a child. Jesus did not stay as a child. He grew up. He came on a mission. His mission was to reveal his grace to you. What he did, if you're not a Christian, that is, he took the place of anyone who's ever sinned once, twice. Anyone here only ever sinned three times? Three times, anyone? There's no one, because we've all sinned huge amounts of times. What Jesus did is he stepped in your place and took your sins on himself. How did he do that? He was crucified instead of you. He went all the way to the cross, treated like a criminal, treated like someone who's been rebellious the whole of their lives. And he paid for your sins so that then you don't have to pay them yourself. So there's only two choices now. Either you believe and trust that Jesus died in your place, or you're going to pay yourself. There are no other ways. There is only one way to God the Father, and that's through Jesus. He died your painful death on the cross. And the worst of it was he was separated from the Father. He was in darkness on that cross, so that then you never experienced darkness, so that then you could know what it is to live with him forever. But friend, only you have to make that decision. No one can believe that for you. This is the grace. He's giving you something that you cannot get on your own. You have to receive it. If you die today without Jesus, my friend, you're going to hell. I am not swearing here. That's what the Bible says. You die without Jesus, you're going to a place where he's not. And where Jesus is not is hell. You don't want to be there. I'm not scaring you. I am just telling you the truth. I don't know what 2025 holds, but I know that the Lord Jesus is knocking on the door, offering you grace. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. I must carry on because I think it's much there today. He was crucified as if he committed all the sins you committed. He died and he did not stay dead. On the third day, our God rose from the dead in Jesus. Our Lord Jesus is alive today and is giving you that Holy Spirit. Believe, repent, and believe in him today, brother and sister and child. He has freely forgiven us and freely gives you his Holy Spirit through Jesus. He's giving you a life of freedom. Galatians 2:20. You can look there with me, 2:20. If you believe in Jesus, you can say these words: I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. For us that know him, obey him as a response to what he's done for you. Not for what you do for him, as a response of what he's done for you. Your response is not in your strength, but by the Holy Spirit who lives in you. So as I finish, love your neighbor as yourself and serve one another humbly. Please him with the strength that he gives you by the Holy Spirit. Fix your eyes on him. Free at last. Free at last. Praise God Almighty, we are free through Jesus Christ who died and rose back from the dead. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank you that we have your Holy Spirit through Jesus who lives in us and will always live in us. And so we beg of you that we will go out looking forward to 2025, equipped by your Holy Spirit to respond to what you've done for us. May our obedience to you be a response to what you've already done, what you've completed for us already on the cross. May we please you because it's a response of your love. So we thank you and praise you for your amazing grace. In Jesus' name, amen. And guess what song you're going to sing? Amazing Grace. I've been reading an autobiography by the man called John Newton, who wrote that book. It's absolutely amazing. He testifies to God's grace. Join me as we stand to sing Amazing Grace.